Being that Talmatara is a multi-layered experience, it's only natural that it should have multiple brachas. In fact, there are two phenomena about Birchas HaTara that are unique. Number one, that there are three brachas before the mitzvah. Typically, there's one. Sometimes there are two. For example, Erisin sometimes two, or Tfilin. Bris Mil has two brachos, Hadlakas Neros, Mikra Megillah, perhaps Chilas Matzah, depending on how you understand the brachos. But we never have three brachos before mitzvah, aside from the Shechiyano. This is a mitzvah that has three brachos, and obviously each of the brachos is highlighting multiple, almost unlimited themes, because Talmatara is an unlimited experience. Second of all, what's unique is the bracha after Talmatara, which we only recite after the public kriya of Kriya Satara, but still is a bracha that brackets the overall experience of Talmatara. The first bracha, which we recite in the morning, and each of these three brachas are taken from the Gemara and brachos Daf Yud Aleph, different Amarayim articulated different types of brachos, and the Gemara concludes that we should recite all three of them. So the first bracha is probably the closest to the generic brachas HaMitzvah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kidushanu B'mitzvah Sada V'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Sarah. It's a straight bracha, very terse, very concise, with a verb describing the activity of the mitzvah. Sometimes the brachas are conjugated with a lamed, Leshev Basuka, sometimes they're conjugated with an aleph, with an ayin, lamed, al natilas yadayim, al achilas matzah. But either way, there's a typical verb describing the activity of the mitzvah, the performance of the experience of the mitzvah, the definition of the mitzvah. And what's notable about this bracha is the employment of the term lasok as opposed to the term lilmot. The typical reading of the bracha should have been Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidushanu B'mitzvot V'tzivanu Lilmot Divrei Torah, or Lahagos B'Divrei Torah, which is taken from the pasuk in Yeshua V'Agisa B'Yom V'Laila. The term La'asok B'Divrei Torah is unique. Now, to be sure, there was an older girsa in which the bracha, and it's quoted by many Rishonim, in which the bracha was more vanilla, as we would say, much more generic, Asher Kidushanu B'mitzvot V'tzivanu Al Divrei Torah. But already in the days of the Rishonim, the Psak was that the bracha should be recited La'asok B'Divrei Torah. What concept or what theme of Talmud Torah, what element of Talmud Torah, does the term La'asok B'Divrei Torah convey? So the truth is, there probably are three different layers, and what's interesting is not just the existence of the three layers, but perhaps the interaction between the layers, because you would think that these layers are contradictory, and yet they in many ways complement each other. The first layer is, of course, the literal translation of the word la'asok, ayin samach vav kuf, means to work, to toil. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah demands work and toil, and Chazal spoke about this often. Very famous Gemara in the end of Brachos, Zos Taras Adam Kiyamus Bohel. Torah can only be acquired by people who are willing to work. In this case, Chazal speak hyperbolically, people that are willing to die. Not, of course, literally, but figuratively, to commit energy and dedication beyond human dimension, beyond human scale. Very famous Rashi in the beginning of Bichukosai, quoting the Sifra, in Bichukosai teilecho, v'yas mitzvosai tishmeru v'asu semosam. So Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'ave, Hashem craves that people should be ameilim atar, that people should work in tar. And the work in tar, obviously, is on two levels. First of all, because it's just physically very taxing, because of its sweep, because of its breath, because of its infinity. If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, so it's going to be infinite, because it's the reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite will. So it's just so sweeping and so vast that it eludes even the greatest minds and the greatest personalities. Amarti Yechkamav Hirachokum Imeni. Shlomo says, I thought that I could capture it and understand it, and yet it was distant, it was too far, it was too sweeping. But it's not just the physical toil that's involved, but the emotional, psychological challenge to know that you're entering a world which you'll never fully encompass it, you're never going to reach knowledge. If anything, it's the hunt for the elusive infinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that ennobles the process of Talmud Torah. And that prospect, that entering a sugya or entering a topic is doomed for failure, so to speak. But the recognition of failure and the achievement of partial failure is essentially the success in Talmud Torah, because there's no way for any human being to fully encompass it. So the toil of Torah is not just the physical exertion, although that itself is sufficient to mandate or to warrant this bracha. And as I mentioned before, there are literally dozens of Mamari Chazal, dozens of views and imageries, whether it's the donkey-like image of Yisachar, who worked hard in Talmud Torah and had thick bones, so to speak, to carry the weight of Talmud Torah. The Gemara in Chulin talks about being like a Chamor Lamasoi, Vishor Laol. It's not just the actual learning of Torah, but the yoke of Torah that a Shor carries on his neck. Sometimes it's the yoke that's more difficult than actual work. We're all prepared to work, but when we know we don't have a choice and we're committed or submitted to work, then sometimes that yoke, that responsibility, is even more difficult than actual work. Whether it's the image I mentioned before of sitting in a tent, whether it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Chavayamad Beis that calls Tara Tushia because it overwhelms human energy, whether it's Rabbi Akiva standing by the well and seeing water shaping a rock and thinking that if water can shape a rock, then Torah, which is so hard, is obviously going to shape and be formative in the human experience. So this is obviously a very, very large topic. Another Gemara in Tainus that the Torah, very appropriate for Shavuos, the Torah was given in a desert, and only someone who's willing to separate themselves from the indulgences and luxuries of common civilization, only that person can really acquire Torah. Very reminiscent of the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Pasper Melech Tochal, Maim Bamasura Tishta, in the sixth parak, that person who wants to study Torah has to at least be willing to submit themselves to a life of struggle and toil and work. And unfortunately, that ethic has become a bit eroded in the modern context because we aren't really trained or adapted for hard work. We like convenience and we like quick solutions and we like automation and we like delegating our work to machinery. We like, so to speak, absolving ourselves of hard work for the sake of broader efficiency. We can do more if we do less in one particular area, if we delegate it to machines or delegate it to computers, and we can spread ourselves, but sometimes in that spread, we omit our ability, or we weaken our ability to work hard in a concentrated fashion. So that's the first meaning of lasok b'divrei sara, the simple meaning of to work hard. Now, interestingly enough, the word lasok, even the word ayin samach vav kuf, also connotes involvement, hitaskur in modern Hebrew, playing with something, being involved in something, repeated involvement, not just hard work. Very interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. I heard this from Rav Asher Weiss when he gave shir in yeshiva last week. It's in the Mishnah in Perek Beis, in Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Yodalet. Very interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah. The Mishnah says that when you're working in Torah, so you should know, lifnei miata amel. So Rabbi Eliezer said, we should work hard in Torah, have a shakur l'ulmot Torah. When you're learning, da lifnei miata amel. You should know in front of whom you're working. So Rabbi Eliezer captures the work ethic of Torah, the ethic which is conveyed by lasok b'divrei sara. But Rabbeinu Yonah, in his comments, says that while you're working and struggling in Torah, he says, "Uchishata miageas atzmacha b'tara." While you're working and toiling in Torah, tishtasheaba. You should also enjoy it like a plaything, like a toy. And he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, or two pasukim in Mishlei, which juxtapose. One pasuk talks about the work, and one pasuk talks about the enjoyment and the indulgence. Shashua, pasuk in Tehillim, "Luleitu ascha shashuai azavariti v'ani." That if worn for the enjoyment and the playing with Torah and the luxury of Torah. There's a very famous medrash on the end of one of the last psukim in Koheles, which likens the words of Torah to darvanos. Divrei chachamim ki darvanos. And the literal translation means the words of Torah are like whips, that they're meant to direct us in life, and just like a whip directs an animal while it's plowing, while it's traveling. Similarly, Torah is meant to direct, not in the violent or harsh fashion, but just in the guiding fashion. But the medrash darshans, divrei Torah not ki darvanos, but kador banos, like a ball, a soccer ball, a ball that children, in this case that little girls, would play with. And one is allowed and encouraged to play with Torah and to enjoy Torah, and that playing with Torah connotes and even mandates two things. First of all, the endless desire to get a new idea and a new insight and a new understanding of Torah and a new slant and in ways that are they complement each other. A person who has a certain style of learning, then here's a Hasidic approach, or here's a gematria, or here's a remez, or here's an asmachta, or here's a joke, or here's a that we employ Torah and we allow it to be elastic enough to cling to our lives. The more angles of Torah we uncover, and the more different slants of Torah achieve or attain. And also in terms of existentially, not just in terms of academically, that we constantly look for the new idea, and in many cases that could be taken too far. Many people complained in the 18th century and 19th century that the styles of pilpul, which excelled at twisting Torah in positive ways, not distorting Torah, but turning Torah on its axis and trying to discover very, very complicated networks of how Torah can interact based on combining seemingly unrelated Gemaras and employing that combination, that juxtaposition to yield a higher truth, isn't practiced too much today. Most people practice those who study Torah analytically practice what's called the Brisker Derech, which tries to build local categories and use those categories to define a halacha and thereby extrapolate it to more details. But many people complain that pilpul was taken too far and was too artificial, was too far from the basic text. Others who defended pilpul said that it is in the service of lulei Torah's chashashuai, of enjoying Torah, of enjoying the game, so to speak, of Torah. But it's not just an academic question, it's also a personal question. Is the person allowed to enjoy Torah? Many people feel that the enjoyment of Torah erodes the religious, the devotive, the piety of Torah, the sanctity of Torah. You should be studying it because it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's word, not because human beings are enjoying it or deriving joy from it. And a very famous introduction to the Igle Tal, a very famous sefer, one of the early Sachashava Rabbanim, who claim that the person is meant to and must receive that joy of Torah, because that elicits human passion, as long as that joy is seen as a religious goal. So this is an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah. Doesn't really tether it to the language of this pasuk, but the word la'asok doesn't just mean to work. It could also mean to be involved with, to be immersed in, to be invested in. And what makes Torah so unique is that it's really the only discipline that a person works hard at and is committed to with all their energies and with all their facilities. And that toil and labor also yields joy and indulgence and luxuriating. Typically, we compartmentalize our life. There are areas in our life that we work hard at, and then we walk away from our toil and hard work to try to find vacation, relaxation, leisure. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, based on this pasuk in Pirkei Avos, uchisheta amelbo, while you're working in Torah, you should be mishtasheh. You should try to combine the toil and the labor, chasing the infinite Torah, working to try to tackle and conquer something which is beyond human ken and beyond human sweep, and still try to identify and internalize the shashuai, the joy and the elation. The final translation, or the final layer of meaning to the word lasok b'divrei Torah, is probably achieved by switching the samach for a sin. Instead of reading it ayin samach vav kuf, ayin sin vav kuf, which means to battle, to almost confront, to interact with something. It's a process not just of working hard in the unitary level, but of battling. In Bracious, there are battles, Kiyat Askuimo, they called a place Asek because there were battles. And in fact, there are old gear cells in which the actual Lashon of the Bracha is written, not Ayin Samach, but Ayin Sin, Vav Kuf. And that connotes more of an interactive process in arriving at the truth of Torah. The process of Torah, although it's important to study Torah individually, process of Torah's give and take is especially Torah Shebal Peh, and in many respects this bracha may be relating specifically to Torah Shebal Peh, as connoted by the end of the bracha. It doesn't say lasok batara, but lasok bedivrei Torah. And many people feel that the word divrei Torah, divar means words, which of course may relate to the original format of Torah Shebal Peh as an oral tradition. So when it comes to the oral tradition, human beings are much more authorial, much more creative, much more initiating. Torah Shebichsav is much more fixed and finite. Torah Shebal Peh is an ongoing process, and developing ideas in Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will that human beings should develop those ideas, is best realized when it's an interactive process of people bouncing ideas off of one another, even in some cases engaging in the process in militant and aggressive forms. The Gemara likens in Kiddushin the Torah experience between two people, almost like a war, where the people become, so to speak, enemies, as long as it concludes with a happy ending of harmony and mutual respect. But the term lasok b'divrei Torah can perhaps evoke the image of people not just working hard at Torah, but working interactively in ways that are confrontational and adversarial in other contexts, but in this context is creating differences of view, and in those ricochets, creative new ideas are born and creative new truths are yielded. So these are the three more or less layers which are connoted by the bracha of La'asof v'divrei Torah. Number one, hard work and toil, amelus batara. Number two, the enjoyment, the indulgence of constantly being involved. And the word lehitasek doesn't just mean to be immersed, but to be immersed continuously, even after you feel you've reached truth and you've reached an understanding, if you really feel this is a joy for you. So, for example, even a person who has succeeded in playing sports, they'll enjoy bouncing a ball. The bouncing of the ball may not improve their future sports experience, but it's just a present joy because it's such an immersive experience. People that enjoy diamonds enjoy just looking at diamonds. People that enjoy computer programs or tech, they enjoy playing with tech toys. So a certain joy we get that doesn't necessarily create cognitive advance or experiential achievement. We just indulge in things that we toss around, so to speak, just because it relaxes us, just because it provides joy and elation. And that notion of his askus doesn't just mean to work hard, but just to be playing around with it continuously, even when it's not involved in an academic or cerebral advance. And the final meaning of lasok b'divrei Torah is to appreciate the importance of different approaches, different ideas, bouncing ideas off of people in the literal sense, with a chavrusa, if not in the literal sense, at least hearing different ideas, and those that are more foreign to you are the most important because they create the greatest abrasion, and through that abrasion, new ideas are cut, just like cutting a stone. So sometimes we only listen to those within our comfort level, but by listening to people beyond our comfort zone, we're able to achieve greater truths in Torah.